In Proverbs, the 6th chapter, the 16th verse, we read this. These 6 things, does the Lord hate? Yes, 7 are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift to running mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. I think I said last week, but it bears repeating. Repetition is perhaps the best way to learn. I remember when I was a little kid, the teacher told us, and I can remember this. I can't remember what I ate yesterday, but I can remember this. She said, if you had 5 apples, and you probably never used that. You used 5 apples, and you give away 3 apples, how many apples would you have left? In my life of 77 years, you think I could remember something more important than that? Stupid repetition. I learned the multiplication table. 1 times 1 is 1, 2 times 2, and I got clear up to 10 before I graduated. But repetition is key, and there's what we're going to talk about tonight is something that you'll never get too many repetitions on hearing it, because the key part of this series right here is that word pride. And I've got some stories. I when I went through this again and reviewed what we did in the past, everything comes back to that. Most of the problems that I have, most of the problems that we have, In fact, I've even made the stupid thing that I'm a humble guy, but I fight these things just like the other guy does. And I know Christ forgives us our sins, but if my kids kept doing something wrong, you know what I did with them? I talked to them, and then I took the paddle to them. That Christ isn't necessarily going to take a paddle to you. But my son and my daughter, when they got out of line, I bent them over the bed before. I had a word of prayer with them, explained to them why I'm punishing them. Then they'd bend over the bed, and I'd take that board. And, you know, my parents always told me, this hurts me more than it hurts you. You know, that they were right. You look at a little kid, they give you that big blue eye or brown eye look. And it melts your heart. You know, you want to hug them instead of thump on them. You know, but the thumping was necessary in my children's life. And it's amazing that God doesn't discipline me more than I should. These traits that I read to you again this evening, Proverbs 6, 16 to 19, these are traits that Satan used, and we've seen illustrated, in the Garden of Eden. He's a con man. He's a liar. The only one he's concerned about is himself. And as Christians, we should do everything in our power to avoid or to make sure that none of these things that I read about exist in our lives. And if they do, confess them and forsake them. The Bible says God hates those things, these things. And when you were to use hate, I don't like that word hate. I'm just being honest about it. If someone around me, the only one I have access to anymore is my wife, if she says she hates something, I don't like that word. I find it very negative, maybe too strong, maybe dislike. And God is our Heavenly Father, and I know He loves me. And yet He uses that terminology, because that abomination, and basically that's what it means, disgust. I know, and you know, Jesus Christ died for your sins. And I've heard it said, and even some of you in it said, well, Christ knows I'm a human being. And I give you that. He does know it, because he made us. He shed his blood for us. But why would a saved person that understood what Jesus Christ did for us do things that are displeasing to him? Because of the flesh. In Galatians 5, 19 to 20, and the pastor, he still isn't through with Galatians. I think he's on the... No, he was on the fifth chapter. I don't think he's got into the sixth. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hated variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, and heresy. If these are in us, then we're living contrary to our profession. One day, and I believe this, we're going to stand before God, and we're not going to stand to be judged for our sins. Christ paid for that. But we're going to be judged on what we did for him, how we lived our lives. And, you know, if these things are evident in your life, they hinder your usefulness. And I've got a pretty good illustration of that. I'm going over that little bit of that pride, the proud look. Everyone knows what pride is. You've seen it. You can see it in an eye. You can see it in the way people move. And really, what you see is an attitude of the heart. And basically, what you're saying is, I'm better than you. And I led you wrong a little bit last week. You know, when you think of pride, you think of someone that has something and that has more ability than you do, can do this better than you. That's not really true. You can be as awkward, have two left foot and two left hands like I do, and still have a lot of pride. I pride myself on being a klutz. You kids don't know what that means. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. The Bible has some advice for people afflicted by the problem of pride. It's 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the Word of God says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall. In Romans 12:3, for I say, though, the grace given to me, that every man is among you, not to think of yourself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to God, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. An illustration is told, and I come across this, and I figure I gotta stick this in here. An employee was talking about his boss, and his boss was a prideful man. And I think in our society, most bosses, you don't get there because you're an average run-of-the-mill man. Usually you're there because you excel above your peers. I'm not knocking the peers. We had a saying where I worked, oil rises to the top. And there's certain men that do that. And sometimes it's natural ability. Sometimes they've worked hard to get that. I know guys that's worked and went to school part-time, finally got their degree, and that degree opened doors that they would have never have gotten if they didn't do it. I went to the school of hard knocks. Everything I learned the hard way. You guys never experienced this. My mom used to say, do you learn everything the hard way? And that was me. I'm just a klutz. But thank God I did learn that. But this employee said about his boss and how vain he was. He said if his boss went to a baby dedication, he wanted to be the baby. I thought this was kind of cute. If he went to a wedding, he wanted to be the bride. And if he went to the funeral, he wanted to be the corpse. Why? He wanted all of the attention. And you know, the truth of it is, a lot of people are like that. They want attention. Has a kid ever went up to you and said, I bet you I can eat 3 apples or something. And what do they want? They want attention. Or sit or drink. I can do this or I can do that. And it starts in infancy. They find out if they get their way. Pastor said something. It's been a while. He said about who rules the home. And I don't know if she rules the home yet. But she will. I mean, she'll get to a point where you need something, you know. But anyway, pride is a sin that And everything else that I talked about goes back to pride. Why do people lie? Because they have too much pride. Have you ever met somebody that every conversation starts with them, or if it doesn't start with them, it ends with them? I've known people and I'd say, "How are you feeling?" And I'd be, "Oh man, I should have never opened the door." And I know people need sympathy. When you don't feel good, you need someone to love and care for you. But you know, Reverend Fleming used to say, half the people don't care, and the other half thinks you deserve it. And I'm not there because I have a compassionate heart. But the truth of it is, that pride's a killer. It really a person. A pride will have you thinking higher than you should. Humility, on the otherwise, is a man thinking more about others and less about himself. This is an attitude that only God will bless. James 4:6 says, "But he giveth more grace. He giveth more grace. Therefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord," in James 4:10, "and he shall lift you up." I work with a guy named Bob, and I'll leave his name there. And Bob had an ego that you wouldn't believe. Very good illustration for a man full of pride and self-love. And I witnessed to him many times, and I told him that he needed a Savior, that Jesus Christ died for him if he didn't. And he told me, he said, "Bill, I don't need a Savior. I can get in on heaven on my own merit." I've never had a guy tell me that. He told me that flat out. Later on, he had an operation. He had to do some work on his heart. Now, to show you what pride will do to an individual, I said, "Bob, how'd it go? How'd you feel?" He said, "The doctor opened me up," and he said, "I never seen a guy in such good shape." I said, "Bob, if you're in such good shape, why didn't they cut you open?" And for once, he didn't have one. But that's what pride will do to you. You know, the only one that pride fools is a person that has it. Pride will do that. So that's why I kind of went over a little bit more about pride. Last week we talked about a lying tongue. Now, I believe pride's the originator of all these other things. Why do people lie? How many times? Sometimes people lie to you rather than tell you the truth. And you know, when you lie, you attack every person you're talking to. How many lies do you have to say before people don't believe you? And you know, when you lie, you lose something that's almost impossible to get back. And you know what that is? That's not only respect, that's your reputation. You know, you hear politicians that fall into vices. And I'm not condemning them or judging, but they try to straighten up their life. And what happens? Everyone throws that back to you. And that happens with Christians. Christ forgives you. But boy, your brethren ain't so good about that. Especially today, like if you're a child or accused of a child molestation or something. Do you know you can't get into a regular hotel? You know, people don't want to rent to you. I mean, you could be turned into a Christian and live a good life, serve God, but there's doors is a good, and I can't speak for the pastor, but I think I will. If a guy had a conviction for a child molestation, should he let him teach your children? I don't know. I think you really, there's some things you just can't blot out. And lying is one of those things. I mean, we make a lot, because some people are good liars. People tell you lies and it's a novelty. But the only one they're really hurting is themselves. And all that stuff comes home. God hates lying, and it's just the opposite of his nature. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And as a child of God, what should we be speaking? The truth. And so what's bad about a lie is it's so easy to do. All you have to do is not tell the whole truth. All you have to do is tell something and leave off the end of it. You know, I tell my wife pretty consistently, you only hear half of a story. You know, if you watch the news, they say alleged. And a lot of times, there's no prosecution. It's like with Mr. Trump, and I'm not into that stuff too good. But you know, all these people that they convicted over Watergate, see how many of them serve time. They're not going to serve any time. It's just for publicity, to make him look like a good guy and the other guys look like saints. And believe me, neither one is a saint by any stretch of the imagination. So you have to watch what you say. That's why Jesus said every idle word that men will speak in the day of judgment, they'll give an account for that. And man, there's so much that I could be accountable for. The tongue was created so that we could communicate with each other. You know, they taught me in school that what separated us, and this probably isn't true today, but what separated us from the ape was the five senses and a movable. You never heard of that?
Yeah.
No. And the movable thumb. The ape can't do this. And he can see and hear, and he can't think logically. You know, but the truth of it is, I may act like an ape, may look like an ape, may smell like an ape, but I'm not an ape. I'm a special being. And because I'm a special being, I have that ability to communicate and worship with God. There's not another animal in the world that can do that. They work on instinct. I work because I choose to talk to God. You know, it's weird when we talk about lying and the tongue. Some people would never tell a lie. They'd say that their words are straight as an arrow, but everyone knows that that's really not true. And I know people that won't go into a restaurant where they serve booze. They'll go home and make a peanut butter jelly sandwich before they go into a restaurant that serves booze. Now, I agree that you shouldn't. My preference is to find a restaurant that doesn't serve booze. But if I get hungry enough, if it don't have a bar, I'm not going to eat in the... See how I'm changing, lying about that change? If it doesn't have a bar, I'm not going to sit in a bar room. So I went to restaurants where the bar is over here and you eat here. And I feel guilty about that. But I still sit down and eat. You know, you get with a bunch of people. Sometimes you can't force your opinion on the others. You can let them know that you don't like that particular place. And I try to do it in a quiet way. But there are people I know that would never go in a place like that or never go where they sell cigarettes. But the truth of it is they'll tell you a half-truth in a heartbeat and not think anything of it, you know. And that's just not right. In James, the third chapter, God's Word says this. For in many things we offend all, but if any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man is also able to bridle the whole body. Therefore we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with such a small helm. Whithersoever the governor listeth, even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter of fire it kindleth. Our tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on course
of nature and is set on fire of hell. Every kind of beast and birds and serpents and things of the sea is tamed, have been tamed of mankind, but the tongue no man can tame. It's unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. Therefore, bless we God, even the Father, and therefore we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be. So we see pride, lying, and then I'm going to end this series on this, and this is going to be fairly short. Hands that shed innocent blood. Now, everyone in here knows, I looked up at how many ways there is to kill a people. And I don't have that much patience to or bore you to go through all the ways that we kill people. But I will tell you this, and I told you before, I think you'd kill a person the day. And I think more people this right here than shoot a guy. I told you, I have a concealed carry permit. I've seen plenty of films on police officers shooting and actual things, instances of actual gunplay. Majority, probably 95% of the people that are shot don't die, unless it hits a vital organ. And a lot of it depends on how fast the paramedics or you can get medical help. But your tongue, it'll do a job. But anyway, how much is your life worth? Have you ever thought about that? Now, I'll tell you a reality. When I was a young guy, I bought $100,000 worth of insurance. Now, when I was a young guy, all my brothers died young. So I figured if my wife wanted to marry somebody, that's her business. But I didn't want her, you know, in our society, a single woman is really at a disadvantage. I mean, you feel like statistically, I'm not a woman, but sometimes you feel like a third peg or something. You just feel out of place. Everyone else got someone to talk to, and sometimes if you don't have family posts, you're out in nowhereville. But in some areas, you know what a life is worth? In some places, it's worth a pack of cigarettes. How about a pair of tennis shoes? How about they didn't respect me? Whatever that means. That's reality, Bill. But you know, with God, that's not the case. Our lives are worth something. I read this and I edited it a little bit, but the basic facts that I'm reading here are true. It said scientists have added up how much your body, organs, and parts are worth. You ever had a car and it breaks down and you have to get a muffler, and the muffler's $575, and you got a tire going bad and the tire is $125 and they charge you for the rim? Now I'm going somewhere with your car, like my cars are clunkers. They're older, but if I had to replace every piece, that car would be worth a lot of money. Now, you guys don't have four wheels, and you don't have a horn, maybe. But you know, you're worth more if you can sell your organs than you are alive. Scientists say that's true. If you sold all the parts, you could be, if you're healthy, no smoking, drinking, game, you could be worth $6 million. You've heard of people that bought organs. Some countries, they kill people and take their organs and sell them. The Food and Drug Administration put a price on life at $7.9 million. The Department of Transportation values a life at $9.4 million. So there you have it, putting a price on human life. Experts say maybe $7 to $9 billion. Now, that doesn't apply to old guys. I'm worth about 50 cents if you get some fool to pay that price. But our judicial system has this philosophy. They don't talk about lies. They don't believe it, but here's their philosophy. The American justice system considers life as priceless. That makes buying a person illegal. A human can't be bought or sold for any price. If you take a life, in theory, you sit in prison for the rest of your life. If your life's taken, nobody has enough money to buy that life back. No amount of gold, property, oil, diamonds, anything that you consider value, substitutes for life. You've heard of millionaires that said, I would give anything I have for 5 minutes of breath. Life is precious. You ever look the way you're made? It marvels me all the time. And I know I'm kind of slow. But man, to think of how your hands move and your eyes. I had trouble with my eyes and went to the eye doctor. And he shows you that chart and explains all that stuff. And you know what? I come to the conclusion, I'm wonderfully made. I really am. You won't have a car that lasts like this and been through, put through what I've been put through. You can store them, and then maybe they'll run good. But what God did with human, the body, is absolutely amazing. We're priceless. And 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says this, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, the silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Man, if you're a child of God, you're worth, in fact, it's impossible to put a price on your day, on your life. God did, as he paid his price with Jesus Christ. So God created man in his own image, and the image of man created he him, male and female. God knew me, I believe, before the foundation of the earth. I knew that he's going to save me. And I know, you ever heard of Maude Amy Hubbard? I was talking to a lady that was brought up in Grace, I guess it was really a cathedral. I don't know if they call it Grace now or what. And anyway, I was witnessing, I was trying to witness to her. And I want to get at her feeling. How do you feel about, because if you're familiar with Ernest Angel, he's been through some mill and he's lost, and I'm not judging him, that's up to God, but he's lost more in the last 10 years than he gained the preceding years. I don't care how you rule, money, monetary. He lost something that you'll never get back. If he had a good name, he'll never get that back. He has a rain cloud over him all the time. But when God saves you, he erases all that past. He pays the price for your redemption. And now you can be somebody in Christ. David said this. He said, I'll praise thee. And this is 139:14, and I'm reading this as I'm skipping through this. I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth well, right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thou didst see my substance, yet unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which is in continuance, were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious are your thoughts of me, O God? How great is that sum of them? Now, I say that to say this. Is human life valuable? If I was to say, how much? Sometimes kids don't know the difference between. You remember when you used to give you want a nickel? Or do you want this shiny penny? You guys never did stuff like that? That's that crooked cheapness in me. Try to swindle a kid out of 4 cents, you know? But the truth of it is, our lives are precious. And if it's your life, how much is it worth? Insurance companies say, when you get my age, I'm worth about $50,000 before they cut off my insurance, you know? But man, with Christ, I'm something. And if you're a Christian, your life's worth just as much to him as mine was. In real time, yours is probably worth a lot more. Let me ask you this. I know you don't believe in murder. I know you don't believe in any of the stuff I talked about. Have you ever participated in some of it? I have. And I talked last week. I've told whoppers. Yes, I have done that. Have I stretched the truth? Yes, and I've even given you an illustration of that. But the good part, you can ask Jesus Christ to forgive you. He will forgive you and make a new man. Any questions or comments? Real fast. Cut a little bit of this out, but it's probably for your edification. Father, we thank you again for your love. Lord, I don't understand a lot of stuff in the world, but I do know this is pretty clear. This is basic stuff, and I can understand it. I look around and I see lives that are literally killed for nothing. I see people make fools of themselves because they can't control their mouths. I've seen politicians and many others with a pride issue that it's almost as big as the moon. But Lord, you've forgiven us, and let's hope that none of these issues are found in our lives. And if it is, help us to see that and forsake it. I ask that you'd watch over and protect us as we go our separate way. And Lord, as we're looking for our guest speaker this Sunday, what a great job he did a week and a half ago. I'd ask, Lord, that you prepare his heart as he breaks the word of God. And Lord, may your word through his preaching not return void to you. And for everything you do, I thank you. In Christ's name.